Shalom Rabbi Say, today's daf is Erev and Daf Yud Tes, a good Erev Shabbos. We are on Yud Ches and Rabbeis here at the bottom with a bunch of statements from Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar. We have some of Gadata that will take us most of the way on Amud Aleph, and then we will get back into Hilchos Erevin. So we, let's see here. We are three lines up on the bottom. V'amar Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar, Niskalala Bavel Niskalu Shechinaha. When Bavel was cursed, its neighbors were also cursed, the surrounding lands. Shomron, and Niskala Shomron, when Eretz Yisrael was cursed, Nisbarhu Shechinaha, its neighbors unfortunately were blessed. Obviously that was bad because the Shomron was sent into exile. Niskala Bavel Niskalu Shechinaha, Dechtiv Vesantia Lamorash Kipur Vagmi Maim. Okay, Pasuk. Yeah, that pasuk is in, don't have it on the side here, in Yeshayo. And the pasuk says, right by the Shomron, right, Niskala Shomron, is Baruch Hushchena, Adachtiv, Visanti Shomron, La'aye, or Li'iye, Li'iye Sadeh. I'll make the Shomron into a pile in the field, but we'll mitei kerem, but it'll be a good place to put vineyards, and obviously the people around will benefit from the Shomron's destruction. Check it out, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not like man. The midah of people is that when a person is killed by the malchus, they put some sort of whatever, some sort of device, some sort of piece. Rashi says, "Eitz shapotech piv shlo lechad daber." They force open his mouth, kadesh shlo yikalel samalach, so they don't. So the guy doesn't curse the king. Right? Midas Hakadosh Baruch Hu, but what is it when Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Rachman Litzlan, if a person is chayv misa for Hakadosh Baruch Hu, so Adam is chayv hariga lamakom shosek. Person doesn't say anything. Shneimar lecha dumiya sehila. Quiet is your praise. V'lo od elish to mishtabach. Shneimar tehila. Right. Not only that, but a person who is condemned to death in Misa, right, realizes that his chait and gives up praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'la'od el shadom alo ki'ilu makriv korban. Right, it's as if he's being makriv himself. Shenemar ulecha yishulem neder. Right, you'll pay his neder. Right, a person when he does a chait that he's chayav Misa for, so a person has the right perspective, so he realizes that he's going to achieve atonement through his Misa. It seems like a korban. Hayinu damar Rishu ben Levi, Mai dechtiv, what does it mean when the pasuk says, Ovrei be'emek habacha mayan ishuseyu, gam brachos yate mora. So what does that mean? So Gemara is going to darshan every part of that pasuk. Ovrei elu b'nei adam she'ovrin al retar shamakam. This is referring to Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is talking about people who sin against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Ovrei. That's Ovrei, like Averos. Amek, what's the depth? So she's amik, shema amik in lahem gehenem, right? They go to gehenem. Habacha, what is that? Shabochin umaridin demos, kamayan shal shisin. They cry like the mayan, like the river of shisin. Shisin is the hole in the mizbeach that ran through. There was a river that ran underneath it, but there's a hole in the mizbeach where they would pour the libations, the wine and the water, etc. Gam brachos yatel mora. What does that mean? Shematzdikin alein es hadin. They matzdik is they realize the tzidkus, the righteousness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's judgment. For amru lefanav, they say ribon shalolam. They say Hashem yafeh danta yafeh zochita yafeh chayafta veyafeh tekanta gehenem lerishayim veganedi letzadikim. They say yeah, you judged well. You were, and it's good that you. It's proper, not good, but let's say it's just and proper that you set up Gehenim for the Rishayim and Gan Eden for the Tzadikim. Is it really true that the people who sin are going to do tshuva? The Rishayim, even at the mouth of Gehenim, they're not going to be chozer b'tshuva. Shenemar v'yatzu u'ru'u b'figuri ha'anashim ha'poshim bi shepashu lo namar ala shepashim ha'poshim v'shepashim v'holchim la'olam. Right, the poshim is present tense. Not that they sinned in the past, but that they are sinning now. So that seems to imply that they're not going to do tshuva, even at the la'olam forever. So Gemara says, lokasha, no, there's no stira. How a poshe Yisrael, how a poshe over gochav. Yeah, okay, the goyim are not going to do it, even by the Pischa Shal Gehenim. But Am Yisrael, the Jews realize, even they do tshuva right before they go into Gehenim, they see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is judged properly. And it makes sense. Because if this wasn't true, there'd be a stira within Rish Lakish. Right, for the sinners of Am Yisrael cannot be burned by Gehenim according to Rish Lakish. You have a Kavach Omer from the Mizbech Hazav, right? The Mizbech Hazav was built in the Mishkan, the Beis HaMikdash, right? Ma Mizbech Hazav, She'en Alav, Elaka Ovi Dinar Zav. The gold plating on the Mizbech Hazav was very, very thin. The Amad Kama Shanim Velo Shalta Bo HaOr, right? But it had so many, many, many hundreds of years, the fire didn't burn it, didn't do anything to it, right? It was always burning, it always had Ketores on it, it was burned every single day. So Poshe Yisrael Shemalei Mitzvos Karimons, but the Aveda, the Jews who sin, who still have mitzvos like a Rimon, Shemar Kefelech Rimon Rakaseich, meaning referring to even the empty ones in Am Yisrael are filled with mitzvahs like a pomegranate. So much more so are they not going to be burned by the fires of the Gehenna. So if that's true, meaning the Jews can't be burned by Gehenna, right? What did he just said? He said that it said before that people who sin don't do tshuva even right before Gehenna. Well, apparently it must be that the people who don't do tshuva before Gehenna, so that's talking about the Goyim and not talking about the Jews. And the Jews are the ones who are not going to be harmed by the fires of Gehenna. Elah hadachtiv, wait a minute, but the pasuk says, Ovrei de'ah be'enek habacha, right, people go down and they're crying right, in the amex, in the depths. So people, the Jews, Am Yisrael, are going to go to Gehenna at some point. So who mechayev eishayt be Gehenna? That's for the people who are chayev for one moment in Gehenna. The Asi Avram Avinu umasik lehu umekabaluhu umekabaluhu. Right, Avram Avinu comes and takes them out, comes and gets them out. Bar mi Yisrael sheba al bas avod kochavim. Except Rachman al Tzlan, for a Jew who slept with a guy, demashcha or laso, right? Because he is, it's as if he has pulled Moshe, Moshech means to pull. It's as if he's pulled back his orla, his foreskin, below mivishakerle, and he doesn't. And Rashi and Avram doesn't realize that he is a yid, right? Because again, in Gehenna, I guess you know, are people going to be wearing clothes? I don't know, but I mean, the mashal obviously is that a Jew, Rachman al-Tzlan, sleeps with a guy, so he's defiled his bris. And Avram Avinu, who is the right, obviously his big mitzvah was the bris mila. Aside from many other things, but he's either he doesn't recognize a Jew who has done that to his foreskin, Kielu. All right. Anyway, Mask of Lord of Gahana. Rav Gahana asked a question again. We had said against Kohen Reish Lakish that the people who sin do not do tshuva even by Gehenna, and we said that I was talking about the Goyim. So Rav Gahana doesn't like that so much. He says, "Question. One second. Hash Damar the potion." When it says ha poshim the pishay ve'azli, you're telling me that what was the proof that the people who are going to not do tshuva at the beginning of Gehenna? Because the pasuk says ha poshim, the people who are sinning, right, in present tense. El me'ata dechtiv hamotzi v'amala. One second, you're telling me the present tense always refers to things that are happening right now. Right, sometimes we're talking about a Kosh Baruch Hu who takes us out of Egypt. Right, what are you talking about? Demafiku, meaning he took us out. Right, it must be that he is taking us out constantly, but that he took us out. So hachanami de pishehu. It must be also that people who sinned in the past, it can't be referring to people who are continuously sinning. The Chassidus Shavuot would be agav that then Chassidus Sfarim would talk about this, is that people are always trying to leave their own personal Mitzrayim. Right, we're always kind of, this is the Musar for the day, yeah? And we're always, and I guess Chodesh El doesn't hurt to have a little bit of Musar also, that we're always, every single person is stuck in his own personal Mitzrayim. All of us have this type of rooted in Gashmias and some sort of stuff that we can't get out of. Kosh Baruch Hu is constantly taking us out, helping us get out of our Mitzrayim, of our slavery, the things that we are enslaved to, whether it be our habits or society or whatever Musar report you want to take. But the Kosh Baruch Hu is always constantly taking us out of our own personal Mitzrayim. Okay, either way, that's perhaps a vort for Leila Seder, but Shaykh now as well. All right, anyway. Vam Rabbi Yirmiya ben Elazar. Shlosha Pesachim Yesh LeGehenem. There are three entrances to Gehenna. Echa b'mibar, echa b'yam, echa b'Yerushalayim. One is in the desert, one is in the sea, and one is in Yerushalayim. Sorry, one second. Let me just... okay. B'midbar dechtiv, how do you know there's one in the desert? Pasuk says, "Vayerdu heim v'chol asher lahem chayim sha'ola." By the pasuk by Korach and his followers, they went down to Sha'ola. Right, they got swallowed up straight to Gehenna. That was in the Midbar. Bayam, what are you, the Ketiv Pazik says, Mi beten Sha'ol Shavasi Shamata Koli. That's talking about Yonah, where he said from the beten Sha'ol. Right, yeah, it was in the depths of the Sha'ol. That's talking about Yonah. He was in the depths of the sea. He was in a fish, but in the depths of the sea. Yerushalayim, Dechtiv, Nehum Hashem, Asher, Or lo b'tzion, v'tanur lo b'Yerushalayim. Right, there's a fire and furnace in Yerushalayim. V'tanur d'beir v'shmal, Asher, Or lo b'tzion, zo gehenem, v'tanur lo b'Yerushalayim, zo pischo, shel gehenem. Okay, so you see that there are three entrances into gehenem. Su leka, Gemara says, not only, really only three? Only three. Amar Rabbi Merion, Amar Rabbi Shuvin Levi, Rabbi Tana, Rabba Bar Merion, Bidibay Rabbi Yochanan, Ben Zakai, Shte Tumoros Yesh Bagai, Shte Tumoros Yesh Bagai. There are two palm trees in, Begay Ben Hinnom. There are two palm trees in the valley of Ben Hinnom, Veola Ashami Binahim, and there is fire that comes up from the two of them. This is what when we said that the Sinei Har Barzal, the palm trees in the literally Har Barzal, the mountain of iron, is shayach, is ksheros or kosher to use as a lulav. That's what we're referring to. Referring to this valley. Those palm trees were, I guess, different than other palm trees. Yeah, I'm not sure. Okay, fine. But either way, they're kosher. Vizui pischoshal gehenam, and this is the entrance to gehenam. So we see there's a fourth. This one says Dilma Hainu Yerushalayim. That's the one talking about Yerushalayim. Again, apparently that's close to Yerushalayim. Okay, could be just off Yerushalayim. Fine. So then maybe that's the same one. Amar Rabbi Shimon Levi Zion Shemos Yesh the gehenam. There are seven names to gehenam. Ve'elohim. These are them: Sheol, Abaddon, Ber Shachas, Bor, Shaon, Tit. Hayon Havan, I forget how you pronounce that. Tit Hayavan, or Hayavain maybe, I'm not sure. Okay, Vitzalmavis, Veritatachtis. Okay, there are four of them. I'm going to learn all these from Sukkim. Sha'ol Dechtiv, how do you know? Sha'ol Mibetan Sha'ol Shavasi Shemati Koli, right? That pasuk quoted by Yonah. Abaddon, what is that? Dechtiv. Hayisuparbe Kever Chasdech, Chavustecha, and Munascha Abaddon. Okay, Be'er Shachas, what about that? Dechtiv, Kilo Tazov Nafshi Lishol. Lo yitain chasdecha liros shachas. Okay, we have Sha'ol and Shachas back to back. That's talking about the same thing. Uvor Sha'ol v'tit hayaven hayavan. Dechti, the pasuk says vayaleni mibor Sha'ol mitit. I'm trying to see over here with the vowels. Oh yeah, it is hayaven mitit hayaven. Okay, that's a pasuk in also in Tehillim. Well, most of these are in Tehillim. A lot of these are in Tehillim. The Talmavis dechti yoshvei choshech v'talmavis. Okay, Eretz Tachtis gemarahu. And Eretz Tachtis is just like. What I guess the Greeks, Elif, how the Avdalas would call the underworld, right? That's like Eretz Tachtis, the land underneath. And so I guess the underworld, that is that's just a Gemara, that's a, I don't know, Elif HaMosh Messina, but just a tradition. Okay, Vizuleka, hi, what about, hello, you didn't mention Gehenim, right? Gehenim. So what about that name? So the Gemara says, no, that's not actually the name. That's just kind of describing what it is. It's a gay shamuka kid gay henum. It's a valley as deep as a gay, which is a valley or a guy. He's probably better. A guy is deep like the valley of Hinnom. Shakol yoredla al iske Hinnom, and everybody goes down there because of Hinnom. What is that? Rashi says one word: arayos. The people who are steeped in arayos go to Gehenom. Right, one of the things that will take you there. Fahika Tiftach, Tifate, what about Tifate? Also a name of Gehenim. Dechtiv Pazik says, Kiaroch Me'etmol Tifate. So Gemara answers, no, that's just not just referring to the fact that Shekol Shem Mitpate Yibi Yitzro Yipol Sham. Anybody who is seduced by his Yitzhara is going to end up there, but that's not actually one of the names. Okay, well, once we talk about the Gehenim, we got to talk about the good stuff. Gan Eden, Amar Reish Lagish. Imbis Eretz Yisrael, who Beis Shan Pischo. If it's in Eretz Yisrael, so it's in Beis Shan. Beis Shan we have nowadays, you can go see it. Vim Baravia, and if it's in the Arabia, or somewhere in the Arabian Peninsula, I guess, Beis Garam Pischo. It's in Beis Garam. Vim Bein HaNaharosu, and if it's between the rivers, Dumaskin Pischo, it's in Dumaskin, Bevavel. Okay, fine. Dumaskin Pischo, come on. Agav, the entrance to Gehenna, already the Ramban says, I think, if I'm not mistaken, Sefer Bereishis, that's the entrance to Gan Eden is in Eretz Yisrael, or is on the earth, really, rather. The Gemara here debates where it is, but it's on earth that you can get there. Obviously not actually, but the entrance to Gan Eden, according to some Rishonim, is again, based on this Gemara, I'm not sure, but that's not a crazy thing if you're like, I thought Gan Eden some spiritual whatnot. No. Gemara and Rishonim already talk about how there's an entrance to Gan Eden on this world. Now, whether that's literally or that they mean metaphorically that the way to get to Gan Eden is through your actions in this world, okay, that could be, I don't know, but that's already a drosha for another time. Okay. Bebavel, Abai Mishtavach, Beperi, Abai would praise the fruit, de Mavar Yamina, of Mavar Yamina, on the right side, I guess, of the right pass of the river, and Rava Mishavach Beperi de Harpanya, and Rava would praise the fruits of Harpanya. Okay. Again, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I didn't say it before, but I think basically, how do you know? Yeah, if you look at Rashi over here, how do you know the entrance to Gan Eden is, in all these places? So if you look at Rashi, Beis Shan Pischo, Shapiros of Metukim Mikol Eretz Yisrael, because the best fruit come from Eretz Yisrael, and I guess, Gan Eden had some pretty sweet fruit, as other Marishan could probably attest to. Okay. Back to Hilchos Erevin and back to the Mishnah. So if you remember, the Mishnah had said, Beinehim Kamale Shtei Paros, pardon, let's go flip back here. The first Mishnah on in the Perek, all right, we had a Machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, how much of a space you could have between the Pasei Biros, between the L-shaped corners of this well, not the Mechitza, but the enclosure that you would put, I guess whatever the word is, the enclosure that you'd put around the Be'eros in the Rishus HaRabim for the Ole Regalim. So Rabbi Meir said it was two pairs of three cows each. Rabbi Yehuda said it was four pairs of two cows each. Uvenem Kamale Shtei Revaga. Again, that's the Machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, Pshita. And just to quote the rest of the Mishnah, which we're going to talk about right now, is Kshuros Velo Mutaros. And they were tied up, and they were not untied. So the Gemara says, well, Pshita, obviously, came with the Tanalei Kshuros Anan Yadina and Delahavim Mutaros. Right? If you tell me they were tied, they obviously weren't untied. So my entertainment, you might have thought, the Gemara answers, Kshuros Ke'en Kshuros. That tied means as if they're tied. Right? Aval Mamish Lo. But they don't actually have to be tied up. So Kamash Malan Velo Mutaros. No, and not untied, meaning the measurement between, again, it's not that you don't actually have to bring cows and tie them up and put them in between. Just talking about the measurements between the boards, as if you would actually have cows tied together. Achas nichneses v'achas yotzeis, one facing that way, one facing that way. Tana revoka nichneses for revoka yotzeis, meaning a pair of cows in one direction, a pair of cows in the other direction. Okay, and the Gemara is going to explain right now. Tana rabbanan kamarosha v'rubot, well, the Gemara will explain exactly how far and what this measurement is. So Tana Rabbanan, Kama Rosh Ruba Shapara, both of these measurements are important. One of them is for immediately, and one of them will be talked about later in the Amud, or I guess on Amud Beis. How much is the head and the most of the body of a cow? So that, the Brisa says, Shtei Amos, two Amos. Kama Ovia Shapara, that's what's Shayach for us now, because we have either four or six cows, according to either a mayor, would be the width of this, the Pasei Biros. Between the Pasei Biros, how much is the width of a cow? Ama v'shnei shlishi ama, 1 2/3. Shehin ke'eser, and that is like 10. According to Rabbi Meir, it's like 10 amos. According to Rabbi Meir, the Gemara is going to ask immediately, well, 6 times 1 2/3 is exactly 10. It's not like 10, but okay, we'll get to there. Rabbi Yehuda omer kishlosh esrei ama uka arba esrei ama. Rabbi Yehuda says it's like 13 amos and like 14 amos. So the Gemara says, well, what are you talking about? Ke'eser ha'eser havya. Right? When it's 6 cows times 1 2/3 amah wide is 10. What do you mean, like 10? It's exactly 10. So mishum de'bo'i le'mishna seifa. No, because we wanted to talk about the seifa, kishlosh esrei. Right? Like 13 of Rabbi Yehuda. So therefore we said ke'eser of Rabbi Meir. So the Gemara says again, kishlosh esrei tfei havya. Right? It's more than 13. It's not like 13. if you have eight times 1 2/3. So Gemara says, "Mishum the bayla misnei karabas." Right, right. So okay, so the, because we wanted to say like 14, we said like 13. All right, Gemara says, "Ukarabas rei halo havia." It's also not like 14. So Rav Papa Yisiris al shloshes rei veina magios larvais rei. Right, it's more than 13. It doesn't get to 14, and that's what the brisa means. And again, if you plug in, do it in your head, or you plug it into a what's it called? A calculator. Eight times 1 2/3 is it? Comes out of my calculator is 12.8. That's not helpful. 1.6 times 8 equals. Oh no, there you go. If you do 1.6666666, so then it is 13.33, which is 13 and a third. Okay. I was looking at my calculator. I was like, wait a minute. Fair enough. Okay. Weiter. So again, the sheet of Rabbi Meir is that the space between the Pasi Biros can be 10 amos, and in the country of Yehuda, it's 13 and a third. Amar Papa, Babor Shmona. Now, this is where we need the length of a cow, meaning a Rosh of Rubo, because we said before, if you remember, that you have to be able to get a cow's Rosh of Rubo into the Pasi Biros to get allow the animal to drink. So, Amar of Papa, Babor Shmona, if the pit itself is 8 amos, I guess, wide and long, let's say it's a square, yeah? So let's say if it's 8 amos, it's kuli amal opliki the little bean in pshutim. Everybody agrees you don't need pshutim, right? Pshutim, we said in the Mishnah, were extra boards going in one direction as opposed to the L-shaped boards on the corners to separate and make sure you don't have enough, too much wide space. So in a board that has eight amos long, everybody agrees you don't need these extra boards in the middle. Why? Because if you look at Rashi over here, it does the calculation for you. B'bor sh'racham shmona, three lines down. Afilu Rabbi Meir lo b'inim shutin, d'chi marchik k'dei rosho v'ruba, d'haynu sh'tei amos l'kol ruach. Because when you have 8 amos for the well, or the water pit, or whatever it is, you add another 2 amos in every direction for the rosho v'ruba of the cow. Nimtza hachalal sh'beinu beiz mechitzos sh'tei mesrei amah. Right, so then you find that the space between the empty space is going to be 12 amos. That pasin rachva amal choruach, but the L-shaped boards is 1 am in each direction. So what's the empty space between the pasim? It's got to be 10, a little bit less, right? Basically 10 on the nose, or maybe a little bit less. Rabbi Meir b'hachishari. Rabbi Meir allows you to have a space of 10 amos between the pasim. So everybody agrees you don't need extra boards in the middle. But bor shtemes rei, if the pit is 12. Everybody agrees that you're going to need the extra board in the middle, because then you're going to have a space of 14 when you add the 2 amos on each side, and that will be more than Rabbi Yehuda's minimum shita or maximum shita of 13 and a third. Ki pligi, the machlokas is no. When the boar is mishmona vach demisrei between 8 and 12, that Rabbi Meir b'shinam pshutim, Rabbi Yehuda lo b'shinam pshutim. According to Rabbi Meir, you do need boards to make sure you don't have more than 10 amos of space. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you do not. For Rav Papa, my Kamash Malan. So Rav Papa says, what are you talking about? The Gemara says, what is Rav Papa teaching me? Right, Tanina. We already learned this in the Braisa, that's the empty space they allow, right? Rav Meir allows 10, Rabbi Yehuda allows 13 and a third. If it's bigger than that, you need extra boards. We just learned that in the Braisa. That's the, we just quoted right here. So Gemara says, Rav Papa, Braisa lo shmi alei, v'kamash malan kebraisa. Rav Papa had not heard of this Braisa, and he was teaching us what this Braisa teaches us. Exactly. Okay. Skip the mnemonics as they translate the abbreviations. This is basically we're going to have a bunch of questions that Baye asked Rabba, his Rabbi, about Hilchos Erevin, and we're not going to get to all of them, but that will take us to the bottom of the daf and to tomorrow's daf as well. So we're not going to get to all of them, but that's an abbreviations if you want to try and remember what Abaye was talking about. So Abaye, first one, Abaye Minei, Abaye Mi Rabba. Herich b'dimyonim keshir pshutim l'Rabbi Meir Ma'o. Let's say you have a lot of space, right, between, according to Rabbi Meir, let's say you have a space between the Pasi Biros are 10, more than 10 amos. Let's say it's 11 amos. But you extend the L-shaped pasim so that it covers some more space than the normal 1 amma, and now you're left with a space that's less than 10 amos. right? Does not work. So I mean, one option again. The solution we had in the Mishnah was to put a pas in, in the middle to split it into, let's say, 11 amos. So split it into 5.5 amos of space each. What about extending the L-shaped pasin? So Rabbi said back to him, Tinitua, right? We learned in a bray. So Ubilvachi Yarbe pasin. As long, what did the Mishnah say? What was the language of the Mishnah? Right, it's okay to have a space that more than 10 amos as long as you add yarbe v'pasim. You add to the pasim. So my love, the ma'arech b'diyomdim, that seems to imply that you are allowed to extend the diyomdim, the pasim, and the L-shaped pasim. So Gemara says, lo, demashru shavim pshutim. No, really what it meant was that you add extra boards, and really you can't add on to the diyomdim. So Gemara says, "Yehachi hayo b'vach yarbe v'pasim." Well, so the language is weird. Why would it say that? It's arshe yirbe pasim yibayle. Should say that you should add more boards. What's bit pasim? It's bit pasim seems to imply you should add on to the extant or the existing pasim. So Gemara says, "Tani arshe yirbe pasim." So Gemara says, "Yeah, echanami." You could just say that that was the proper text of the Mishnah. Amar. Ikedamri, sorry. Some people say that the exchange is like this. Amalei Tinitua, Rabbi said back to Abaye, we learned in a braisa, Ubulvachi Yarbe Bipasim, that as long as you add on to the pasim. My love, the mafish Rabbi Pshutim, doesn't that imply that you need to make extra boards? Lo, demarach b'dim yomdim, no, really, you can add on to the diomdim, to the L-shaped boards. So, achanami mistavra, and it makes sense. I mean, the gutamini, and it makes sense from the language of the Mishnah. Ubulvachi Yarbe Bipasim, as long as you add on to the pasim, right? Apparently, you see that that would be many. So we have two versions of the story, and we don't have one way to conclude one way or another, because each version of the story implies, right, whether it's okay or not. Right? One says yes, one says no. Boy mine abay mirava. Second question: Yoser mishloshesher amo shlish the Rabbi Yehuda mau. What do you do if it's bigger than 13 1/3 amos? According to Rabbi Yehuda, what's the best thing to do? Because if you remember, is it Rabbi Meir who said you can have the extra, what's it called? I mean, that's according to Rabbi Meir, that you will vachi yarbe v'pasim. Is it? I'm not sure. Okay, we just discussed Rabbi Meir Shita. So Rabbi Yehuda, what about Rabbi Yehuda? What does he say? What is the best thing to do if you have more than 13 1/3 amos between the pasim? Pshutim adivid o bidim yom dim marich. What's better to do? To put boards down, an extra board in the middle, or to just extend the L-shaped boards in the corners? So I'm related to it. So we have a brisa. Kama hein mikuravin kedei rosho v'ruba shalpara. How much do you? What's it called? How much are you going to bring? How close? Mikuravin was referring to the diomdim. How close can the diomdim be? Enough to allow the head and the body of a cow. And how far back can they be? Afilu kor, afilu korayim. You can even set it up, for a kor, a korayim, really, really far. Rabbi Yehuda omer beis asayim mutter. Rabbi Yehuda says you can set up to a beis asayim. Yozmer beis asayim aser, but even more than a beis asayim is going to be aser. Amar lo Rabbi Yehuda yeta moda v'dir v'sar v'mukta v'chatzer. Aren't you moda in the case of again these rishus hayachid things, a pen or a corral or a yard or a chatzer? Afilu beis chamesha korim, afilu beis asar korim de mutter. Right, you can have this huge space. Then it'd be mutter. So, aren't you moda to that? He said, yeah, in a chenami, but when you're dealing with those private Rosh Hashanah Yachid areas, then we're talking about mechitzas. Here we're talking about pasim, right? These L-shaped pasim, but for a well, right? That's totally different halacha, and so therefore it's going to be much more limited, it's going to be much smaller. Ave Misa, and if it's really, and again, if Rabbi Yehuda says, which one? If Rabbi Yehuda says, right, that you can only, that the best thing to do would be to extend the pasim, so zumechitza v'zumechitza v'bayale, meaning that would end up with having actual walls, right? Pasim that long, that's already a mechitza. So the Gemara says, how can come? No, so that's not what he means to say. Zot toras mechitza malah, upertosev v'eser. Rabbi Yehuda was saying that the difference between the Rosh Hashanah areas and the pasim biros and the Rosh Hashanah is that when you're talking about the Rishus HaYachid, so that's the halachos of a mechitza. And therefore, the pirza can only be, the open space can only be 10 amos. Velutar is pasmalaya, but here, by the case of the well, it's a pasibirel's case, if it's a same shloshes ama v'shlish, and then you have up to 13 and a third. And that's why you can only have, you can't have a space bigger than base asayim, because we have that extra kula, so we have to kind of limit it a little bit, so that people realize what's going on over here. Okay. Boy mine abay mi rabo. A third question. I think this is the last one that we'll get to today. Marbet tel hamislaket asara besoch arba. What's the deal with that? So, what is that? So, tel is a little mound. If you can imagine walking up, there's a piece of land that goes up on a diagonal. And within 10 amos, within 4 amos, it gets up to a height of 10 tvachim. If you can imagine walking up a hill, if within 4 amos it reaches 10 tvachim higher than where you were a moment ago, so that is considered, I don't want to say it's considered, I should say yachid, because I don't remember, but, it's considered a machitza, right? It's definitely considered a machitza. Let's read in the Gemara. Nido mishum diyomad o eno nido mishum diyomad. Does that work as an L-shaped diyomad? Does that work as an L-shaped pas for a board? Right, even because the Gemara again says in Shabbos that if it's a mechitza, can you tell me, even though it's shaped really weird, can you say that that's a board? That is one of the pasim, the diyomdim. So Amalei, so Rabba said back to Abaye, Tinitua, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Omer, Haisa Sham Evan Merubas, right? If there was a squared off stone, Rowan Kol She'ilu Techalek, V'yeshba Amalekan V'Amalekan. We see as if it is hewn out, or sawed out, or opened out, and you have an Amma on one side, an Amma on this side, Nido Mishum Dioma. That would count as a Dioma. So if you have a square, if you can imagine, I don't know, some sort of square stone, like they have, I guess, the big ones, right, I'm thinking of the Kotel, where they have those big, huge square stones, right, that when you're by the excavations or whatever. Okay, either way, if you have an Amma on one side, an Amma on the other side, so then we can view as if the middle is kind of hollowed out, and that's considered a diomad. Vimlav eno nido mishum diomad, but if it doesn't reach an amma length and an amma wide, right, if it's smaller, so then it's not good enough. Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch Omer, Em Ha'isa Sham Evan Egula. Even if you have a round stone, right, let's say one of the round stones that fell out of, it's in the excavations over there, it's not perfectly squared off. Rowan kol she'ilu techakek v'techalek, it's as if it is kind of squared out, it's hollowed out, and shaped in a L. V'yeshba amalekan v'amalekan, and if you have an amma in both directions, so then nido mishum diomad, it can be considered a diomad, it can be considered as a L-shaped pas. Vim lav, and if not, eno nido mishum diomad, it does not. So Gemara says, but my kamifli, what's the machlokes? Mar sever chad roen amrinan, tre roen lo amrinan, umar sever afilu tre roen nami amrinan. The machlokes here is how many, what's the word? Not assumptions, but how many transformations will you assume? It's not a good word either, but whatever. How many transformations will you assume in this rock to view it as if it is one of the pasim? Now, do you make one or two? Right, by the squared off stone, so you only need to make one. That is if you assume as if it's hollowed out, and therefore you're left with the L shape. By the case of the round rock, so you don't have an L shape at all. So you have to consider it to be hewn out and shaped as an L, as a pasim from one amma in one direction, one amma in the other direction. So do you say one or two? That's the machlokes over there. So by a tel, by a mound that goes up 10 tefachim within dalet amos, so that is also going to be similar to a round rock, because you need to do some serious excavations to shape it and hollow it out and make it look like a pas, an L-shaped pas. So that, okay, said Rabba to Abaye, that your question is subject to this machlokas, whether you say one rowan or two, meaning whether we make one ukimta in the rock or two, and whether we view it in that way. Okay, either way, Shkara Kodo, have a tremendous Shabbos. I hope Chodesh Elul is going good for everybody. Have a great day or night, depending on where you're listening to this, and we will go weiter in the Hilgishas after Shabbos. Kol Tov.